Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So we're starting a new sermon series. So over the last few months, we've been in this sermon series that's called All In. You know, you can put it this way. I'm going all out for Jesus Christ, right? I'm going all in. Like, whatever that meant to you. But now we're in this place where we're talking about on purpose. And I really love this. And I was talking to one of the guys earlier today. I was like, I'm still getting this message from God as I'm sharing it. So let me see if I can explain it as we go into it. There's one thing to say that I'm going all in for Jesus Christ, right? We get t-shirts and we get bumper stickers and all that. We go buy a big Bible, right? All of that. And you get the little dividers and say, yeah, I'm going all in, you know, like I'm doing this. But when we talk about, and God was sharing this with me, on purpose, it means that I may not want to, but I'm coming to church on purpose. I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray on purpose. Boy, this is, man, my new TV series just came out, but I need to read my Bible on purpose. I really don't like that person, but I'm going to walk in love on purpose. Whatever on purpose area in your life that God is challenging you with, that's this what this sermon series is dealing with. On purpose. Sometimes we do things lackadaisical. You know, just kind of, and I was sharing with somebody earlier, if my favorite song comes on the radio, then I'll praise God. Why don't you turn your favorite song on that will lead you in that place to praise God? Amen? Oh, man, I hope the team sings my favorite song. Or, you know, God, if you wake me up on time, I'll go to church. Why don't you wake yourself up on time? So I think on purpose going to kind of get in our face a little bit and be like, you know, Why are we, can I put it this way, why sometimes we playing around with this thing that we call walking with God and being a believer of Jesus Christ? So align with that on purpose, we're talking about our identity. Because sometimes we are challenged to do things on purpose for God because we're challenged in knowing who we are in God. And so we'll spend maybe 2 or 3 weeks talking about our identity, looking at some folks in the Bible to kind of dig into that. But if you're here today and you're kind of like, you know, like I really don't know who I am or what I am. I don't even know if I really like who I am. Then let's dig into that first. Because if not, we'll compromise doing things on purpose. Amen. So y'all ready to go? All right. So this is the first one. So I'll try to take my time. There is somewhere that I want to get in this sermon, but we'll try to take our time. So what areas of our life do we need to challenge ourselves to live out on purpose? So I'm just going to pause right there for a moment and allow us to think about it. Just kind of stop and think about that for a moment. What areas of our life do we need to challenge ourselves to live out on purpose? And this is not just spiritual things that I'm talking about. Like, do we need to take better care of our health? Do we need to go for more walks? I talked about it last week. Are there some relationships that I need to let go on purpose? Do I need to stop spending so much money on purpose? Amen? So this is like a total, let's go under the hood and see what's under the hood type of thing. But let's do it with God on purpose. Let's address some areas of our life that possibly God has been nudging us to deal with. Sometimes we are challenged to go all in or to commit to doing things on purpose because we are a little uncertain about our identity. There are several times in the Bible where God will ask people, Adam, he will ask Adam, where are you? Now, is it that God couldn't see him? Or he asks Elijah, what are you doing here? When he ran from Jezebel. Is it that God didn't know? That's not the case. These questions are so that we can check our own heart. So if God is asking us a question or confronting us with something, it's not that he doesn't know. He wants us to address it. Amen? The Bible has this word called Selah, where it's like pause and think about that for a moment. And so again, what areas of our life have we've seen God kind of popping up and saying, you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. Right? Or maybe you got one of them friends that say, you need to deal with that. And we're just kind of like, I will, soon as the weather get warmer. And now the weather warmer. Soon it's too hot outside to be dealing with whatever it is God telling you to deal with. Are y'all with me? So what is it? What's those areas? And I hope that those areas are coming to our mind right now. Amen. So we've been on this sermon series. If you haven't been with us, we've been looking at the life of Abram. So now we're going to jump from Abram kind of through Isaac, and we're going to show up in the life of Jacob and his brother Esau. Well, let me just kind of share. So the last time we saw Abram was with his nephew Lot, and, you know, they had all these possessions. And I talked about how it wasn't Abram and Lot that was fighting. It was the herdsmen or the people that was around them that was causing the strife. And then they also had some other enemies, some Canaanites and some Perizzites that was in the land as well. And we talked about that sometimes the issue, if you're a married couple, if you're in a relationship, it may not be between the two of you. It's the folks that you're surrounding yourself with. Or it's the environments that you might be. Or if you back it up to a higher level, it might be the spiritual warfare or attack that's coming. And you're wondering, why am I agitated? Why am I upset? Why do I not like you? Well, take a step back. Is it about them or is it about them? And this is where we get when we get into our moments of prayer and devotion. God is able to almost pull back the curtain and show you, look, it's not about what you see. It's about what you don't see. And sometimes God is trying to reveal to us the things that we're not seeing. You know, Paul says it this way. He says, sometimes our prayer are so aimless. It's like we're fighting and beating the wind because we can't see our enemy. But if we take a step back and we pray, God, reveal to me what is going on. Why did I wake up this morning feeling like I just wanted to tell somebody off? And I got a good night's sleep last night. What is going on? Why am I so agitated? Is it possible that either the environment or the atmosphere or something spiritually is picking at you? And this is the reason why I was praying this with the kids, that these spiritual things, do you realize that God already has a plan for every one of those children that we prayed for? But do you also realize that the same way that the enemy tried to take out Moses and he tried to take out Jesus, that he is after the seed? Amen. There's a scripture in, I believe, in Malachi, and he says, the reason for your marriage that you keep trying to put away is to produce a godly offspring. Now, that can be natural or spiritual. So God is trying, if you're single, God is trying to produce something from you. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, or subdue it and have dominion. And then if you're married, man, that's two times. So if you are experiencing some challenges in your relationship right now, some agitation, please note that you are double trouble to the enemy. Not just one person in a household, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, but two of y'all. But if we, this is my wife, Tremaine, so I can come and get real close to her. Like, if we all up in each other's face and all of that, but if her and I, we just back up, we might realize that it's other people, places, things that's causing agitation. And then if we back up a little bit more and go a little bit higher in prayer, then we realize that the enemies, there's some spiritual warfare going on. Amen. So here's the question. Even as you are looking to do things on purpose, who are you fighting? Who are you? I'll put it this way. Who are you up against? Who's trying to stop you, or who is trying to trip you up? There's a scripture that says you were running well. Who caused you to trip? But guess what? If you trip, you know what you can do? Get back up. Don't lay there. Get up. We were watching Rocky. I don't know if our son Nathan, Numb was there at the house. I love Rocky. So if y'all hear that in my message and stuff every once in a while. But you know how to get up. Get up, Rock. You know, and it should have been past 10, right? You know. But it's like pausing. He's trying to get up and they're falling down off the rope. And they're falling. And all of a sudden they get up and the ref goes like this. No good, right? But there's this moment. See, we just watched Rocky. I got it in my message now. But there's this moment when Rocky was fighting Clubber Lang, right? And I forget the dude's name. But, like, he just hitting him. And it was like, what are you doing, Rock? But there's this moment when Rocky, it clicked. I call it, he went crazy. And sometimes, man, we it got to click. Amen. And I was feeling that when you guys were singing. There has to be this, like, I'm getting up on purpose, and I'm a fight on purpose. Right. Like, for real, for real. Yeah. I'm a fight. Yeah. Yeah. And not just, if I get up, there's always next time. What if there isn't a next time? Mm-hmm. Now, if you've given your life to Christ, you're going to heaven. So we ain't talking about you staying out of God's presence. But what if there isn't a next time for you to influence or impact someone else? What if you getting back up is going to encourage somebody else? Amen. Or your children or your neighbor? If we as believers give up all the time, then the person that don't believe in Jesus Christ is going to be like, "What? Why should I even try? If every Monday you want to quit and you say you want to quit and you look like you want to quit. If we always look at defeated, why would the unbeliever in Jesus Christ want to be a part of that? I don't want that. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So on purpose. So let's keep moving. So Abram's name is changed to Abraham, father of many nations. Sarai's name is changed to Sarah, princess. So I'm just kind of jumping through this and catching us up. So Abraham has two sons. One is Ishmael, and one is Isaac. That's a whole sermon series right there. But Isaac and Rebekah, they have two sons. One is named Esau, and he's hairy, so they call him hairy. And then the other son name is Jacob, and they call him supplanter. The reason why they call him supplanter is because she's pregnant with twins, and there's this movement going on within the womb of Rebecca. But when she goes to give birth, Esau comes out first, but Jacob is holding the heel of his brother Esau. And because of that, they call him supplanter, trickster, swindler. And this is the reason why I'm saying, as parents, we have to watch what we are speaking over our children. Come on, just because they look like that don't mean they have to be that. So speak, this is the reason why I was saying, we got to see our kids through the lens of God as much as possible. God, like, who is this child? I know what they look like right now, but that's not who you predestined them to be. This little baby didn't even make it fully out of the womb. And because he was holding his brother's heel, they called him supplanter, trickster, schemer, swindler. So you know what happens? He lives that out. Can you imagine every day that they are calling their sons, Esau, Harry, Jacob, you trickster, you schemer. You who manipulate things so that you can take your brother's place. That's what that meant. Replace. So they were looking at this to say that the reason why Jacob was holding his brother's heel is because really he wanted to be the firstborn because of the privileges of the firstborn. And so every time, you know, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, you trickster. Do-do-do, you schemer, you swindler. Because that's what they were speaking as his name. Sometimes we say, what's in a name? There's a lot that's in a name. There's a lot. And there's some, you know, people, they change their name and everything. And you know, we'll make it to Jacob. Eventually, God changes his name. And that's just so powerful. But in this moment, all of these years of living his life, we've got to watch what we are speaking over our kids. Just because they acting crazy don't mean that they crazy. We want them to be on fire for Jesus. But don't speak that negative. And there's an energy behind what it is that we speak sometimes. Oh, you just crazy. And y'all know that's different. Like, man, you so crazy. Comparison, you just crazy. Something wrong with you. What's wrong with you? You understand? And so we have to watch what it is that we are speaking over our children. I want to keep moving forward. So let's get into this story here. So Genesis 27:1. So again, Isaac and Rebekah, they have two sons, Esau and Jacob. We're looking at Jacob and Esau. It says, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his elder son, and said to him, my son. And Esau answered him and said, here am I. He says, see here now, I'm old and I do not know when I may die. So now, and I pray you, take your weapons and your arrows and your quiver and your bow. It reminds me of Danny with the bow and the arrows, and one of our guys, Danny, know how to do all that stuff. And go out into the open country and hunt for game for me. Verse 4, he says, and prepare a appetizing meal such as I love. Listen, and bring it to me that I may eat of it. Preparatory, preparing to give you my blessing as my firstborn because I'm about to die, right? And so the reason that Isaac is asking his son to come do all of this stuff, so Esau was a hunter, so he's saying, go out and get me some of that food that you know I love because I want you to prepare one of them good meals for me. And the reason is because I feel like I'm about to die. But because you are my firstborn son, I want to go ahead and release the blessings upon you. Amen. Are y'all with me? Yeah. So Esau is excited. But what happens is that Rebecca hears what is going on. And she loves Jacob more than she loves Esau. Isaac loves Esau. Rebecca loves Jacob. Isn't that something? So because of that, she eavesdrops and she says to Jacob, hey, I'm going to paraphrase this. Your dad is about to bless Esau. I'm throwing in Will's little thing in here. But because your name is Trickster anyway, why don't you trick your dad so he can bless you? Wow. And so literally, Rebecca goes out, prepares the meal that Isaac loves, takes some goat hair and put it on Jacob because Esau was hairy, even takes some of Esau's clothes and has Jacob wear it so that Jacob can present it to Isaac and Isaac can think that it's actually his son Esau and he can bless him. Jacob is just living out what he has been called his entire life. But not only that, his mom is helping him be who it is that they called him. Family, there's a reason why I was saying sometimes it's not just us, it's the people around us. So who might be speaking into your life about maybe, I would say, the old you, even though you keep telling them, I don't do that no more. You remember when we used to? Amen. You know you have fun when we used to. Man, you used to really get down when. And sometimes we're like, yeah, and if not careful, because words are powerful, I've been set apart because I was in church on Sunday, but the more that I'm talking to them, I'm being drawn back. Yeah, I remember that. And now my mind wants to start doing the things that I know I'm not supposed to be doing, because I entertain a conversation about the old me when that ain't me no more. So please, if you have a Rebecca in your life that is adding to the influence of who you used to be, you got to distance yourself from them people. Hang up on them if you need to. They'll call you back, possibly. And you don't have to lie and say, man, it's cell phone service. So is there people in your life that keeps calling you Jacob, and you don't want to be Jacob any longer? But they've known you as Jacob your entire life. Come on, you have anybody like that in your life? Oh, that's just Will. And they may not be taking you serious. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'm getting baptized today. You getting what? Didn't you get baptized when you was younger? Yeah, I did. But, you know, like I'm trying to do new things in God, and I'm trying to be this new person in God. So I'm getting baptized again. All right. Well, you do your thing. And you come back. I got baptized. You know, you should come to church with me. No, that's good. I'm happy for you. Don't you want to go out later? Ain't nothing wrong with just a little bit of what we used to do. So the bottom line of what I'm saying is we've got to watch the company that we keep. The company we keep. And for some people, the people don't even want to be with you no more, but you feel like you need them. And they've been trying to send you messages and saying, we really don't roll with us like that no more. Like, I'm in a new season of my life. I'm doing new things, bigger and better things. But you keep trying to pull them in your life. And they too close to your inner circle. They have too much influence on you. So that's for somebody here. Amen? So we keep going. The baby dedication, the child dedication we did today was us speaking life over these children. I'm trying to keep moving in here. And so eventually, Jacob comes in. Isaac thinks that it's Esau because he's blind and he cannot see. So he speaks this blessing over the wrong child. And he says, and may God give you of the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth and the abundance of grain and new wine. He's speaking the Abrahamic covenant over this child. And then he goes on and says, let people serve you and nations bow to you to be master over your brothers. And let your mother's sons bow to you. Let everyone be cursed who curses you and favored with blessings who blesses you. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, Jacob, my own words, got out of there. He's like, I'm out. And Jacob scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, and then immediately Esau, his brother, comes in. Please watch this. And there's a portion that I want to go back to for a moment. Previously, Esau is out hunting. And Jacob is cooking some stew, some red stew. And Esau is so famished, like when our children were younger, they'd be like, I'm starving. And we'd be like, so you're about to die? Is that what you're about to, you know? I'm starving. So Esau's coming in and he's like, I'm famished. And he says, Jacob, give me some of that stew. And Jacob, being the trickster, the swindler that he is, he says, if you sell me your birthright, I'll give you some stew. paraphrasing. And Esau says, man, what good is a birthright to me if I die? So he sells him his birthright. But what that means is that the inheritance of the father that was supposed to come to the firstborn was sold to somebody else. So here's something to think about. Please be careful what we walk away from for a momentary satisfaction. See, the blessings of God was on its way. It was already in order for Esau. There was nothing that Esau had to do. All he had to do was receive it. But because his flesh got in the way, he ended up selling God's promises for momentary satisfaction. What is the enemy possibly bringing to you? And God is moving in your life right now. But because your flesh is itching, like I need something right now, sometimes we're willing to step aside from God's blessings for a momentary satisfaction. And I believe this moment we're looking at right now is because Esau sold his birthright. Now all of these different events are put into order, and now it's been taken away from him. So even though there was manipulation, it was already set in place because he stepped out of order. I believe that in this time, it is that important to do stuff on purpose. Whatever God is leading you to do, do it. If you have to stumble and fall, get up and do it. Why would God say, come on, this is your season to go all in? Why would God say, this is your time to start praying more? Why? Because there's something he's trying to get to us. But if for a moment of satisfaction, we decide that we want to step aside, then it will cause counter events down the line. I pray that somebody is hearing what I'm saying. It's not always about the moment. It's about what's coming down the line. And so if you sow a seed here, you'll reap a harvest there. So you will reap what you sow. Amen? Man, I just got to stop and pause for a moment so that this can digest. Because Esau coming in, I'm famished. You mean to tell me you couldn't wait till you got to your mom's house to get a meal, Rebecca? But because he saw something, and it actually says they called him Red. They called Esau Red, I believe, because he always wanted some red stew. So they literally called him Red. So Jacob had, come on, like the enemy, Jacob had what he wanted. In a time when he was most vulnerable. And so the enemy is not going to bring brown stew because he knows you don't like brown stew. He's going to bring red stew. And we've got to be on purpose enough to look at that red stew and say, and if I have to crawl to the tent to get another meal, then I need to do that. For some of us in here, that's how important this walk right now where you are is. The decisions that you are making today can lead all the way to Genesis 27:30. And then we're going to think, dang, you know, somebody manipulated me. No, you gave it up. What you gave up back here just caused you to be manipulated here. The devil messing with me. You did something back here sometimes. I'm not going to say that all the time. So sometimes, how about we go back and say, God, forgive me for wanting something that I could have waited for and given up the promise of God. Forgive me, Father, for that. Forgive me for that. And God, if there's any repercussions, I pray that you will fortify me and strengthen me and help me when this fight comes that I'll win it. Amen. Amen. Because sometimes they messing with me. You started it. Amen. And it calls, but now throw this in there. But God can say, yep, you did that, but I got you. And if you stick with us for the rest of the sermon, you'll see that. Amen. Next week. How God is able to flip it. He will not leave you out there. Amen. He won't. Even if we are the ones that did something, God is still able to redeem us. Amen. There might be some things I have to deal with, but not without him. And so we'll stop here. Is there anything that we did back in the earlier chapters, such as selling our birthright, that may be causing some challenges in chapter 27, that we need to just say, God, forgive me. And his word says that he's just, which means that he has the ability to do it, and he will. He's righteous, and he's able to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God will not leave you out there. He will not leave you out there. But today, he's saying, let's on purpose deal with some stuff. On purpose. Forgive me, God. Help me, God. Strengthen me, God. Whatever it is, like, on purpose.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.